her smile. She knew many of his other tattoos had disappeared, but she'd so badly wanted this one to be real. The wings were as mesmerizing as she remembered. Soulless jet black with midnight blue veins, the color of lost wishes and fallen stardust. And they were one of her favorite things about him. She itched to reach down and trace them, to run her fingers down his spine and wake him up. But while she'd shared countless dreams with Legend, she'd never seen him sleep. And she was curious. Her eyes left the wings and trailed to his face. It looked as if he'd fallen asleep while reading. One bronzed hand held a book near his slumbering head, while hair black as raven feathers fell across his forehead. It was a very human pose, and yet his skin faintly glowed with inhuman light. He looked perfect and tempting, and in that moment Tella felt like a girl from a fairy tale who'd stumbled upon a sleeping god that would give her a prize if she woke him with a kiss. And she was tempted to do just that, to sweep his hair back and press her lips to his brow, when something behind him caught her attention. She'd been so drawn to seeing Legend asleep on his own bed that she hadn't even noticed the enormous mural painted on the wall behind it. Tella took a couple steps away to take it all in, haunting and bright and sad all at once. The artwork almost covered the entire wall. From the distance, it looked like an overwhelming picture of a night sky on fire, but as she drew closer again, Tella could see that this wasn't a depiction of sky or fire, but a series of smaller images. A kaleidoscope of stars and night and hourglasses, hot air balloons and top hats, skulls and roses, death and canals, waterfalls of tears and blood and ruins and riches. It was beauty and horror and pain and longing. Legend's soul was painted on this wall. She didn't imagine he'd want it seen by anyone, and yet, she couldn't tear her eyes away. She swore the mural moved as she drew even closer and looked until it was no longer a picture at all. It was a story. Tella saw images from Caraval's past, as well as some that appeared to be from Legend's life outside of the game. During the last Caraval, he'd told her that his tattoos were there to help him remember what was real. After the game was over and some of his tattoos had disappeared, she'd imagined that was a lie. But now she wondered if there had been something honest behind what he'd told her, because he'd clearly painted his past on his walls. Her eyes traveled to the lower right of the wall where the mural abruptly stopped. She imagined the images right before that naked patch would either be from the last Caraval or the past 2 months of Legend's life. Her pulse sped up as she found the final image. It was of her and Legend during Caraval. They were in front of the Temple of Stars, and he was holding her close. It must have been the moment right after he'd freed her from the cards. He was clutching her as if he had no intention of ever releasing her, even though he had. If these pictures were memories, he clearly saw things differently than she did. Tella knew she was pretty, and that when she smiled, she could convince people she was more than pretty. She was beautiful. But in this picture, she could have been a goddess the way he painted her on those tragic steps, while he looked more like a grim shadow. Was this how he saw himself?
What do you think of it?
Legend's voice was low and rough with sleep. Tella whirled back toward the bed to discover him sitting on the edge of it, bare feet on the ground, black pants covering his legs, and nothing on his flawless chest. His bronze skin glowed a little brighter, and his pants were so low she could see the definition of
Donatella.
His voice was a low growl. Her eyes shot up to his face. Stubble coated his jaw. Dark hair hung over his forehead, and though his eyes were hooded, His gaze was far from tired. He could have set the room on fire from the intensity of his stare.
You need to stop looking at me that way.
How exactly am I looking at you? She challenged. His mouth slowly curved, as if he was about to challenge her right back.
I'm half naked. I'm in my bed, and you're staring at me as if you want to join me here.
Maybe I do. His eyes flashed with white gold, and suddenly he was on his feet, towering over her.
Tella, I'm not in the mood for games right now.
She took a tremulous breath. She hadn't changed her mind, but for a moment she feared that he'd changed his. I'm not playing a game. She stepped closer to the bed and took another ragged breath. She'd never felt more vulnerable in her life. But if she put her guard back up, he would never take his down. I want you to make me an immortal. Legend's brows drew together, wary. Not the response she'd hoped for.
Why did you change your mind? Is this because I didn't come to your room tonight?
No. She would have told him to get over himself, but she was about to throw herself at him even harder and crack her heart open even wider. Most of my life, I've romanticized death. I used to love the idea of something being so tremendous that it was worth dying for. But I was wrong. I think the most magnificent things are worth living for. She took another step until she was standing right in front of him. She reached up and placed a hand on his bare chest, right at his heart. He sucked in a deep breath, but he didn't move away. He didn't reject her, as her hand traveled upward toward his neck. She spread her fingers out, feeling his Adam's apple bob up and down as he swallowed.
Tella.
The word was a plea, and she couldn't tell if it meant he wanted her to stop or keep going. But she sensed that he still didn't believe her. Her heart raced as her fingers slowly traveled to his jaw. Usually his skin was smooth, but tonight it was coarse. Rough against her palm as she cupped his face and tilted it so he could only look at her. I think you're spectacular, Legend, and I want to spend an eternity with you. She leaned up and slowly brought her mouth toward his. Legend was still, but he let his lips brush against hers once.
You really mean this?
More than I've ever meant anything. His eyes closed. Then his arms were around her. He picked her up in a rush, laid her on the massive bed, and took her lips with his again. The mattress beneath them was soft, but everything about Legend was solid. When his tongue slid between her parted mouth, he tasted like the ocean air that slipped in through a cracked bedroom window, salty and tempting and untamable. Her hands explored the smooth expanse of his back, while his mouth left hers to find her neck. He pressed a more delicate kiss to the base of it, making her shiver everywhere, before his lips continued down. His tongue darted out, softly licking her skin, tasting her as he trailed kisses over the column of her throat, pressing kiss after kiss after kiss. It was the gentlest way he'd ever kissed her, and yet there was something even more intense about it, as if, despite what she'd said, he didn't believe her, as if he still didn't think they had a future, but he was determined to hold on as long as he could.
I don't deserve you.
His hands lowered to her calves, bunching the fabric of her dress up toward her thighs.
Yes, you do, she whispered.
She could barely remember how to breathe. His movements were confident and intentional. He knew where to touch and what to do. But when he dared a glance at her, he looked terrified.
Tella, I don't want you to do this because you feel pressured.
I'm not sure which part of this you're talking about, but I came to you. I don't feel anything except how much I want to be with you. I gave you my heart when you kissed me at the fountain, and I've never taken it back. I love you, Legend.
His body froze above hers. Damn the saints. She cursed herself as well for letting the words slip out.
Before she could respond, he was off the bed and halfway across the room.
We have to stop, he said jaggedly. We can't do this, and I can't change you.
Why not? Because of what I said, I wanted you to know how much I want this.
It's not only that.
His chest moved up and down with a deep breath.
You deserve better, Tella.
No. He couldn't let her go again. He couldn't walk away again. But she could see he was already preparing to.
The white lights in the room were growing dim, getting ready to disappear, just like the stars had the last time he'd ended a conversation by leaving.
Don't you dare do this. I know what I want, and I want you.
You might not if you let me change you.
His low voice was barely a whisper. He closed his eyes, and when he opened them, he looked more like the shadow painted on his wall than the legend she loved.
You should go. I'm not selfless or altruistic. I always find a way to get the things I want. Right now, I'm only able to do this because no one has ever looked at me the way you did when you said those words now, and you deserve to have someone who will look at you that way. You deserve someone who can love you, someone really worth living for, rather than an immortal who only wants to possess you.
Chapter 46 Scarlet. The moon had dissolved, and the stars had fled to watch over another part of the world, leaving Valenda's night sky a flat, inky black. The only spots of bright came from a few glowing windows lit by burning lamps and candles, like the one blazing inside of Scarlet's menagerie suite, where she panted in front of the lady prisoner's gilded cage. Scarlet's brow was drenched in sweat that she couldn't fully wipe away because of the ruby bars trapping her head. The gemstone globe had grown even heavier over the last few hours as she tried and failed again and again and again to alter the angry emotions of the young woman Gavriel had brought to her. Scarlet needed to do this. If she could control the feelings of this woman, then she could control the feelings of the fallen star and stop him before he took the throne in less than one day. But despite her best efforts, Scarlet couldn't do anything beyond reading the young woman's feelings. Scarlet could see her rage and anger cascading down her straight back like a fiery cape. Scarlet imagined getting burned by it if she dared step too close. The woman sat on the marble bench that rested next to the lady prisoner's cage and hadn't moved from there since the moment the fallen star left. Scarlet had felt relief at first. She'd expected the young woman to attack her after the way she'd bitten Gavriel's fingers. Instead, she'd chosen to sit as perfect as a model for a portrait until she moved to take her long black gloves off with her teeth. Her arms were covered in scrolling tattoos of faded black roses and vines that ended in two damaged hands, covered in fresh stitches. The woman's fingers had been removed, and from the sight of the stitching, it looked as if it had just been done. Scarlet reared back. This must have been how he'd disciplined the woman for misbehaving earlier. Was this how the fallen star planned to punish Scarlet this time if she failed? Scarlet tried speaking to the young woman, but she never uttered a word. After a couple of hours, the woman rested her cheek against her stubby palm, feigning boredom. It might have been believable if not for the fiery emotions she still wore like a destructive mantle. Scarlet tried to calm her by channeling soothing thoughts. When that didn't work, she tried to project images and emotions that might make the young woman feel drowsy, excited, sad, or happy. Nothing. 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 I can't do this, Scarlet finally said. She had tried to push every emotion on this woman, but instead of making her feel, it only drained Scarlet. She could barely hold her caged head up,
and she couldn't even think about what would happen when the fallen star returned. She didn't want to find out how he would punish her for this failure. It was time to leave. Scarlet was feeling the sort of bone-deep exhaustion that told her dawn was getting closer. The fallen star could come back any moment and discover she had not succeeded. Scarlet needed to use the reverie key and get out of there. She'd thought too highly of herself to imagine that if she stayed here long enough, she could defeat him, rather than the other way around. She hated the idea of Tella and Julian seeing her caged, but she needed to return to them so they could come up with another plan.
"If you leave now, you will never win against him," said the lady prisoner, stopping Scarlet as she approached the main doors. Until that moment, Anissa had been particularly silent, content to swing on her perch and watch Scarlet's repeated failures with the young woman. But now the fate was on her feet, gripping the golden bars of her cage as her eyes turned an eerie white.
"Don't quit. This isn't supposed to be your true ending. But it will be the start of it if you leave now."
"I would stay if I knew what to do, but..." Scarlet cut off as the doorknob turned.
Blast it.
She'd hesitated too long. He'd come back. Except when the door opened, it wasn't the fallen star. Morning light poured through the doorway as a servant boy wheeled in a cart laden with food, which he promptly set on the dining room table. Scarlet hadn't realized how hungry she was, or how stale the air had become, until suddenly it was filled with the scents of breakfast cakes, strawberry puffs, honeycomb spirals, brown sugared sausage, seasoned eggs, and piping hot tea. The young woman finally moved from her chair. She rose, walked over to the tray on the dining room table, clumsily picked up the pot of tea with her palms, and dumped it all over the food before Scarlet could stop her. Her cloak of anger briefly flickered with burnished threads that looked something like victory. But like most feelings of success, it didn't last long. After a moment, the threads shifted to red-black feelings of hatred and rage and bitterness. A new plan formed as Scarlet watched the young woman's writhing, uncontrollable emotions. She was miserable, but not without reason. The fallen star had cut off her fingers and then given her to his daughter as a training tool. Scarlet would have been furious too. The thought gave her a wild flicker of hope. Maybe there was a way for her to shift the woman's emotions after all.
"I'm disappointed," Scarlet said. "I would have thought you'd be cleverer at defying my father. I might not be able to control your feelings, but I can see them. He's the one who chopped off all of your fingers." The woman sat still as a placid doll, but Scarlet could see the vivid colors of her emotions crackling like a fire after a fresh log had been tossed into it.
"The fallen star is the one you hate. And you think acting like a spoiled child with me will hurt him. But you're wrong. If you really want to injure him, help me."
Scarlet picked up a soggy strawberry puff and took a bold bite, as if she wasn't about to make a risky proposition. This woman might have hated the fallen star, but that didn't guarantee she would help Scarlet. Her loathing was so horrible and heated and powerful, Scarlet was unsure if the woman was capable of feeling anything else. But Scarlet had to try. Anissa was right. If Scarlet left now, it would be the start of the wrong ending. Scarlet could use the reverie key to escape, but she and her sister and Julian would only be safe for so long, and the entire Meridian Empire might never be safe again.
"I have no love for the fallen star either," Scarlet confessed. "I may be his daughter, but he murdered my mother and put this cage around my head. If you want to hurt him, help me deceive him. Find a more effective use for your hate. I can see it burning you up, but you can use it to burn him instead. Or you can stick to dumping over pots of tea."
Scarlet finished off her sodden strawberry puff as she attempted to read the woman's response. But her anger and hate were so powerful. If she felt anything else,
Scarlet couldn't see it. She glanced back at the lady prisoner, once again sitting pretty on her gilded swing.
This should be very interesting.
And then the doorknob turned. This time, the fallen star strode in. A heavy gold cape with elegant red embroidery and dense white fur hung from his shoulders. It was too much for the hot season, but she doubted he cared. It looked powerful, which was of ultimate importance to him. The pleased smile he'd worn during his last visit was gone. That victory had already turned into history, and now he was hungry for something more. "I've brought you another gift." He snapped his fingers. A streak of sparks shot out, and a pair of servants carrying a box nearly as large as Scarlet stepped inside. "I think you'll like this present, but let's see your progress first, or this might not be the gift that I give you." His golden eyes cut to Scarlet's tea-soaked breakfast.
"I think you'll be pleased," Scarlet forced herself to grin. "You might be able to tell from my morning meal that frustration was one of the emotions I effectively projected. I also..."
"I don't need a summary. I want a demonstration. And I'd prefer to see an emotion that deviates from her natural state of anger and displeasure. I want her to feel adoration. For me." The fallen star sat on the marble bench. "Make her worship me. I want her to feel as if I'm her god."
Scarlet's stomach turned queasy. Even if the woman were inclined to go along with Scarlet's plan, she couldn't picture her doing this. Feigning confidence, Scarlet looked at the woman through the ruby bars of her cage, but doubted she would help. Scarlet was going to have to try again. "Please, please, please work," she silently chanted. Her heart pounded and her fingers clenched as she pictured the woman getting up from her bench and falling to her knees in reverence. Across from her, nothing changed. The woman's emotions were a firestorm of bold and searing colors. The intensity was so extreme it took Scarlet a moment to realize the young woman's eyes had softened. Then her lips began to move. Until this point, her pale mouth had been a thin line, but now it parted, as if a silent gasp had escaped at the sight of the fallen star. It was the most extraordinary thing to watch. The woman fell to her knees, tears glistening in her eyes as if the fallen star really were someone she worshipped. It was beyond what Scarlet had pictured. Scarlet might have believed she'd done it, if not for the hateful colors that continued to cascade from the woman's shoulders and down her tattooed arms. Thankfully, the fallen star couldn't see them. If he had, his eyes wouldn't have glittered as he watched the woman kneel before him.
"It's remarkable. I never thought she'd look at me like this again. Lift your head," he instructed.
The woman obeyed. The fallen star reached out and stroked her neck, making the woman quiver with what he must have interpreted as pleasure. His lips formed a flawless sneer. "It's really too bad your magic is gone, and you're absolutely useless now. Even touching you disgusts me." He pulled his hand away. "You should get out of my sight before I decide to remove more than your fingers."
The woman broke into tears. The fallen star laughed, vicious and bright. Scarlet wasn't certain what she was watching, but she imagined his reaction wasn't purely from what he perceived as Scarlet's actions. Somehow he had a history with this woman, and Scarlet sensed it went far beyond cut-off fingers.
"Now that's gorgeous. She responds as if she really does worship me and I've broken her. This is very good, Autara. You didn't just make her feel. You've given her real feelings, but..."
A wrinkle marred his perfect brow.
"I don't sense that you've tapped into your full magic yet. Let's see what happens when you take them away."
I want every hint of love and adoration gone. I want her to feel nothing. Turn her into an emotionless husk.
His voice dripped with cruelty. Scarlet fought against betraying her disgust, once again focusing her full attention on the woman, as if Scarlet were the one in control of her. But nothing happened. If anything, the young woman sobbed harder. She wailed thick, sloppy tears, as if her emotions had gone out of control. Scarlet didn't know what the woman was doing. Her true emotions hadn't ever changed. Her tears weren't real, but they were effectively infuriating the fallen star. The air in the room grew thick with heat. The walls began to sweat. He glared at Scarlet.
Make her cease.
I can't, Scarlet admitted.
Stop this, or I'll put a stop to it, he threatened.
The woman fell face first onto the floor, hysterical as a child. It echoed off every surface. The lady prisoner covered her ears. Scarlet furiously tried to project calming thoughts and images. She didn't have to read the fallen star's emotions to know how destructive he was feeling. He rose from the chair. Flames licked his boots.
Just give me a minute, Scarlet pleaded. I can fix this. I'm learning.
That won't be necessary.
The fallen star pulled the woman up from the ground by her neck, and then he snapped it. The Almost Ending. Chapter 47. Donatella. Tella's dreams tasted of ink, blood, and unrequited love. She was inside Legend's mural. The night smelled of paint, and the spying stars looked like smudges of white gold rather than sparkling orbs. When she looked down, the paint from the moonstone steps stuck to her toes, turning them a glowing white. She was in the mural's last scene, standing on the steps outside the Temple of the Stars. But unlike in the painting, Legend was not with her. There was only Tella and the steps and the godlike statues, which glared down on her as the Maiden Death glided near.
Go away!
Tella didn't need another prediction of a lost loved one right now.
Does that ever work? Asked the maiden.
Not usually, but it always feels good to say.
You need more in your life that feels good.
Thus telling you, the bringer of all doom, to go away. The Maiden Death sighed.
You refuse to understand me. I try to prevent the doom, not herald it. But after tonight, I will not come to you again unbidden. For if you do not summon the assassin and me when you wake, then it will be too late to save your sister or the Empire.
The Maiden Death lunged forward, grabbing Tella's hands and... Tella shot up in bed, drenched in sweat from her head all the way down to the backs of her knees. Her hands were dry, but as soon as she opened them, they turned damp. Two luckless coins rested in her palm. One for the assassin, and the other for the Maiden Death. Tella jumped out of bed and threw on a robe. She didn't want to believe the Maiden Death, and she really didn't want to call for her help. But even if the Maiden Death had not come to her in a dream, Tella would have known something was wrong. She should have been woken up much sooner. The night before, she'd crawled into bed with the windows open, hoping the sound of the ocean waves would drown out the echoes of Legend's rejection.
You deserve someone who can love you, rather than an immortal who only wants to possess you.
She didn't know if he'd just said it to push her away, if he'd taken his brother's advice to let her go, or if that was how he truly felt. But halfway through the night, she'd realized it didn't matter. Legend was right. Tella did deserve more than someone who just wanted to possess her. The problem was, she wanted that more from Legend. She could lie to herself and say she didn't want Legend to lose his immortality for her. But she knew that if he ever offered her his love, she'd take it and hold on to it forever. Tormented by all these thoughts, she hadn't expected to find sleep. And if she had fallen asleep, Julian was supposed to wake Tella up as soon as Scarlet dropped off the fallen star's blood. But either Julian hadn't woken her, or Scarlet had never appeared last night. Tella pounded on Julian's door and swung it open at nearly the same time. Tella faltered at the sight of his empty bed. She left and marched down the stairs, but Julian wasn't on the lower levels. He wasn't anywhere at all. All she found was a note pinned to the back of the front door. "I can't wait here anymore. Crimson didn't check in last night, or bring blood. I'm worried something has happened to her. I'm going to find her and bring her back. Jay." Chapter 48. Scarlet. The fallen star dropped the woman's broken body, letting it fall to the floor with an ugly thud.
"I'm sorry you had to see that."
He stepped over the body to reach Scarlet, and only then did his mouth fall into an impeccable frown.
"It seems you're still not quite there, but I'm glad you're finally making progress."
His fingers ignited. He brought one to the ruby bars imprisoning her head. At once, the entire cage sparked and vanished, freeing Scarlet's head and neck. Her shoulders sagged, finally rid of the weight of the cage. Her head had never felt so light, but she couldn't bring herself to thank him. After the initial relief passed, all she could do was stare at the dead woman on the floor. Was that really necessary?
"Don't feel bad about her death. Long ago she betrayed me. I was always going to kill her. I almost killed her when I found her imprisoned by the Temple of the Stars. But I thought she might be useful first."
He reached out to smooth a damp lock of Scarlet's hair from her cheek, his touch surprisingly light. Scarlet still wanted to pull away. She wanted to use the reverie key and finally flee. She'd failed at getting the blood. She'd failed at conquering her power. But as the fallen star continued to push away the hair stuck to her face with something like affection, Scarlet flashed back to the first time they'd met and how he'd mentioned the striking resemblance she'd had to her mother, the woman he'd made a child with, the woman he'd killed, and according to a note that Tella sent, also the one woman the fallen star had loved. Maybe Scarlet had been going about this entirely wrong. Maybe she didn't need to conquer her powers to make him love her. Maybe Scarlet could bring back the feelings of love Gavriel had had for her mother and make him human long enough to kill him. She took a shuddering breath at the thought. She didn't want to use real love as a weapon, or to murder or kill. But love was the only weapon Scarlet had. And this wasn't just about her. This was about the woman lying dead on the floor, and all the people across Valenda and the entire Meridian Empire who would suffer if she did not stop Gavriel.
"How did you meet my mother?" Scarlet asked softly.
His hand stilled against her hair. The question instantly felt like a mistake, but Scarlet pressed on.
"My other father..."
The hand on her hair dropped away entirely, and the peaceful peach colors that had briefly surrounded him darkened to an orange on the verge of catching fire. But at least she was still getting him to feel. Apathy was the opposite of love, so even though she was clearly taking his emotions in the wrong direction, at least she was taking them somewhere. She just needed to do a better job guiding his feelings so that he felt what she wanted him to.
"I meant to say, the man who raised me," Scarlet corrected. "Although he wanted nothing to do with me until I became old enough to marry off. I hate him."
The fallen star's eyes sparked with a little more interest. Hate was an emotion he understood. But Scarlet would have to be careful, or he would latch on to it instead of love.
"I don't want to hate you too.
but you keep frightening me, she said. And I don't believe that makes me weak. I think it makes me smart. I'm grateful you took the cage off, but if you want me to keep working to unlock my powers, you need to give me a reason to trust you. Clearly my mother had a relationship with you, or she slept with you at least once. His nostrils flared. Scarlet was dancing on a knife's edge. Our relationship was more than that. Then tell me about it, Scarlet said.
I think I'd like to hear this story too, chimed Anissa.
Flames licked the bars of her cage as Gavriel shot her a glare. You're being scary again, Scarlet said.
I am scary.
But I do not wish to scare you.
The corpse on the floor gave Scarlet a different impression, but she didn't want to argue with him. Not when he was motioning for her to follow him out of the room and into the halls.
He rarely let her leave her rooms. Everything was monstrously large and tinted with magic, making Scarlet even more aware of her fragile humanity as they passed ancient pillars that were as thick as small cottages and frescoes covered in chimeras and human-animal hybrids. As one of the fated places, the menagerie's appearance had been restored once the fates who'd been trapped in the cards had woken up. But fated places required blood and tithe sacrifices to become fully alive. So thankfully, the creatures in the paintings weren't real. Even so, Scarlet swore their eyes watched and their ears listened when the fallen star finally spoke.
Paradise was the boldest thief I ever met. There was nothing she was afraid to steal. She loved the thrill and the danger and the risks. I think that's why she was attracted to me.
Why were you attracted to her? Scarlet asked.
It started when she threatened to kill me.
Scarlet wanted to think he was joking, but he appeared entirely serious.
Before we met, Paradise was hired by the Church of the Fallen Star.
His rich voice swelled with pride, and Scarlet filled with dread. She had heard of the Temple of the Stars, but she'd not known there was a church dedicated solely to the Fallen Star. Although she shouldn't have been surprised, the Temple District had everything, including a Church of Legend, which no longer sounded strange in comparison to the way Gavriel described his house of worship.
The Church of the Fallen Star wanted her to steal a deck of destiny from Empress Ellentine. Others had tried before, but all of them had been caught and killed for their failure. My church didn't want anyone to know they wanted this particular deck of destiny, because it was the deck imprisoning me and all the other fates. Eventually, they recruited Paradise. By then, word had spread of the job's deadly reputation. But Paradise wasn't afraid to accept it. And unlike everyone who went before her, she succeeded in stealing the cards. His mouth curved into a smile so small, Scarlet doubted he was even aware of it. He really had admired her mother.
Paradise didn't trust my church not to betray her. So, she only brought them one card. The card that happened to imprison me. She said the rest of the deck was hidden somewhere safe, and that she'd share its location after her payment was delivered. She'd planned on fleeing the city, but things didn't go as she planned. The Church of the Fallen Star first formed in order to track down this deck of destiny and set me and the other fates free. Before paying Paradise, they had to make sure the cards were authentic, so a member of their congregation sacrificed himself to release me.
Just the word sacrifice made Scarlet want to cringe, but the Fallen Star's smile twitched wider, the way someone else might at a fond memory. If he was actually trying not to frighten her with this story, he was doing a wretched job.
As soon as I was released, I went after Paradise to find the deck of destiny and free all of my fates. But she no longer had the deck. While my church had been releasing me, Paradise and her lover had used the deck to read their futures,
and they'd seen the magic in the cards. Paradise still didn't know exactly what the cards were, but she was clever enough to recognize that they were worth far more than my church was offering. She had planned to ask for a larger sum. Only when she woke the next morning, her lover had taken the cards and vanished. I found her tied to a bed. She had no idea who or what I was when I arrived. She threatened to kill me if I didn't untie her. And I was instantly intrigued. His voice turned wistful, as if he were reaching the romantic part of the story. And yet the fiery colors around him were growing rabid, licking at the steps, clawing at his cape, and making Scarlet nervous that her plan was not going to work the way she wanted. We started as reluctant allies. The world had changed so much since I'd been trapped that I was in need of help to locate the Deck of Destiny, and she needed someone to protect her from my church. Neither of us wanted the other to know how intrigued we were with each other. I didn't admit to myself what I truly felt for her until the day she told me she was pregnant with you. This was the part where Scarlet would have expected him to look her way. And he did. But it would have been better if he had not. There was something almost savage in his golden eyes. They held all the violence of hate mixed with the passion of love, as if all of this had happened yesterday rather than 18 years ago. I was going to make Paradise unimmortal after she gave birth. But before I could tell her who I was, she found out on her own and chose to turn on me. She had located the complete Deck of Destiny, and instead of sharing it with me, she put me back inside one of the cards. I wanted to spend eternity with her, and she betrayed me. The fallen star stopped abruptly, pausing on a landing that overlooked a glistening white canyon. He'd never taken Scarlet here before, but she recognized the cracked wheels of death scattered around the edge, and the river of red cutting through it. This was the place Tella had described when she'd told Scarlet how he'd murdered their mother. Scarlet took a step back. He immediately grabbed her arm. "I'm not going to harm you. I need you, and this is why." He squeezed until it hurt. "Paradise took the strongest feelings I'd ever had and used them against me. If I'd loved her, she could have killed me. Love is the one weakness I've never been able to defeat. Humans try to make it sound as if it's a gift, but once they find love, it never lasts. It only destroys, and for us, it brings eternal death. But I believe that once you conquer your powers, you can permanently take away this fault that would allow me to return human love." Chapter 49. Donatella.
"Next time I see my brother, I'm going to put him on a leash."
Legend's voice was low, but Tella swore it rattled the artwork that lined the hall. After finding Julian's note, Tella had gone to wake Legend. It appeared he hadn't slept much after she'd left him the night before. He stood in his open doorway in a wrinkled black shirt he must have just thrown on. His dark hair was in tangles. Crescent shadows lived beneath his eyes, and his movements weren't quite so precise as usual.
"I knew that girl would get him killed," Legend muttered.
"She's not just some girl. She's my sister. And she's been risking her life to fix the mistake that we both made." Legend scrubbed a hand over his face.
"I'm sorry, Tella."
He looked at her again, and the shadows beneath his eyes disappeared. But Tella knew that they were still there, hidden under one of his illusions. He cared about his brother. Julian might not have felt it, but Tella had seen it, and she could hear it in his voice when Legend said,
"I'm going to go find them."
"We're going to find them," Tella corrected. This was her sister. She'd let Scarlet go back to the Fallen Star, and she'd asked her to steal the blood for the Rusica. which had clearly been a fool's errand. Before you tell me it's too dangerous, just know that I'll be going after my sister and Julian no matter what you say. If you don't want to bring me with you, I know someone who will. She held out the luckless coins she'd found upon waking up. Legend glared at the discs and they vanished. Bring them back, Tella said. I know they're still there, even though I can't feel them.
What are you going to do with those things?
Legend grunted. I'll contact the assassin and ask him to help rescue my sister. He could take her in and out of those ruins in a blink.
You're the one who said the assassin is mad.
The Fallen Star is far worse, and I'm not going to stay here while my sister's in trouble. I don't love this idea, but I think the Maiden Death and the assassin might be our best option to get your brother and my sister away from the Fallen Star. Legend worked his jaw, and Tella braced herself for another argument.
If we do this, you go in with the assassin, find your sister, and get out of there right away.
Are you actually agreeing with me? The coins reappeared in her hand, but Legend looked as if he already regretted his decision. The muscles in his neck were taut.
I still don't like any of this, but Iko and Nigel haven't seen either the Maiden Death or the assassin in the palace. Jovan hasn't seen them in the ruins, and Caspar hasn't heard any chatter about them working for the Fallen Star. I don't want to trust them, but while I can get us into the ruins where your sister is being kept with glamour and illusion, if Julian and Scarlet are both there, it will be a challenge to get all four of us out undetected. Just promise me, Tella, if we do this, you won't take any unnecessary risks.
Legend met her gaze, the dark crescents beneath his eyes back. It only lasted for a second, but for that moment, he looked more human. Chapter 50 Scarlet. Upon reaching the door that led back to her room, the Fallen Star gave Scarlet a luminous smile, as if they'd just had their first father and daughter heart to heart. She must have been a better actress than she'd thought. If he'd known that Scarlet would never become the reason he became invincible, that she would never master her powers and make him immune to love, he would have put her in another cage. Scarlet was ready to reach for her reverie key as soon as the Fallen Star returned her to her suite and left. But once they stepped inside of her rooms, he welcomed more fates to join them. Her handmaidens, lesser fates, recognizable from the red thread sealing their white lips shut.
Oh, goody,
Anissa cooed from inside her cage in the center of the sitting room, though she looked far from happy about this arrival.
What are they doing here? Scarlet asked.
The Fallen Star waved a hand toward the box he'd brought in earlier.
They've come to help prepare you to meet the Empire.
They'll also make sure their mistress knows everything about you, Anissa murmured as soon as the Fallen Star left. The undead queen spies through her handmaidens. Queenie and Gavriel had an affair long ago. We fates might not love, but we are very passionate and jealous. She wasn't happy to hear he'd made a child with a mortal, and I'm guessing she's been curious about you.
Scarlet didn't know if this was the lady prisoner's way of warning Scarlet not to escape right now, but it didn't matter. Her handmaidens were already upon Scarlet. They removed her gown with unnatural speed, tossing it onto the carpet, along with the precious reverie key still inside its pocket. Throughout the entire process, Scarlet fantasized about darting for her dress and the key. But if she left now, the Fallen Star would immediately know that she was gone, and he'd be quicker at tracking her. Scarlet's best choice was to endure until her handmaidens left. She swallowed her embarrassment as their prodding hands insisted on washing her and helping her with her underclothes. They rolled her hair into curls with hot tongs, and then piled it atop her head. Before lining her eyes in coal, painting her lips with ruby lacquer, and brushing golden dust all over her skin until she glowed like one of the fates. Although, when she peered in the mirror, She looked startlingly similar to her mother.
Scarlet shivered as her handmaidens left to open the box that Gavriel had brought earlier. If it had come from almost anyone else, the dress inside would have been a wondrous present. The bodice was gold, with thin, off-the-shoulder straps of tiny yellow diamond stars that glittered in the light and cast iridescent flecks of rainbows around the room. The skirt was full and red as heartbreak, except for when she moved. A twist or tilt of her hips and a burst of gold fell from her waist down to the hem, where the gold glittered and shone and winked like tiny comets. Scarlet had never in her life hated something so exquisite. She didn't fight as her handmaidens helped her into it, hoping now that their job was done, they would finally leave. But as soon as Scarlet was dressed, a new escort appeared. His face was too handsome to be human. He had dark brown skin, eyes framed by thick, long lashes, and lips with a natural curve that made him look as if he always smiled. His vicious green cloak was the color of poison ivy leaves during the hot season. It crashed around his ankles as he gave Scarlet a bow so perfect, not even a drop spilled from the full goblet in his hand. Definitely another fate. Sweet threads of magic mingled with the excited pops of gold swirling around him. The lady prisoner stopped swinging. She watched this new young fate with a warring combination of boiling red fascination and yellow loathing as he held out his free hand and took Scarlet's.
"It's so lovely to meet you, Your Highness."
The rings on his fingers sparkled as he brought her knuckles to his lips and gave them a gentlemanly kiss.
"We'll be spending a lot of time together. I'm poison."
Scarlet immediately retracted her hand, flashing back to the immobile family she'd found during the Sun Festival.
"Seems like she's already heard your name and doesn't like it much," the lady prisoner said from the cage.
"I'll change her mind," Poison grinned, flashing perfectly straight teeth. "I'm going to become her greatest friend."
"Doubtful," Scarlet gritted out. Poison clutched his heart, jewels glittering on his fingers.
"I thought you were supposed to be kinder than your father. Whatever I've done to offend you, please forgive me. Otherwise, it's going to be a very tedious evening."
He held an arm out for Scarlet.
"I'm here to escort you to the coronation." "Be careful," the lady prisoner warned.
"Calm down," Poison said. "You really think I'd hurt Gavriel's daughter?"
"It wasn't merely her that I was warning."
Anissa's voice softened by a fraction, and her eyes took on that unnerving shade of white.
"Torture and death are on their way."
Scarlet shivered. Poison held her a little closer.
"Don't fret, little star. I think all she's saying is that it will be a dramatic party."
Without further ceremony, Poison swept Scarlet from the room and out into the lavish halls before descending into a series of underground passages that led them from the menagerie into the royal palace's golden tower. The fate kept up a steady stream of chatter as they climbed and climbed to the top of the tower. Scarlet felt hot beneath her heavy dress and shimmering makeup, but Poison only grew more and more animated with each flight of stairs, as if the lady prisoner's warning truly had excited him. He didn't stop until they were just outside the room where they were to meet her father.
"I meant it when I said about being friends.
You might not like me, little star, but if you need me, I'll be here."
His charming smile slipped into something more toxic as the doors before them opened, letting them into the room where the fallen star waited. Tapestries of violent wars clung to the walls while ripe yellow avarice clung to the fallen star. He stood in the center of a cadre of guards, muscled young women and men who must have been Valenda's finest, but next to Gavriel,
They looked like children playing dress-up. The air around him was electric with sparks. His eyes were full of flames. The cape he wore flowed from his shoulders like liquid gold. His eyes flared when she walked in. There was a flicker of pale pink surprise, the color of fragile hearts. And for a moment so fleeting, it might have been Scarlet's nerves playing tricks. She imagined he was seeing her mother. He took her arm from Poison and walked her to the balcony. From the careful way he handled her, no one would have guessed he'd killed someone in front of her a few hours ago. Claps and screams of joy erupted as they stepped outside. The glass courtyard below was overflowing with people. Children sat atop their parents' shoulders, while others crowded inside fountains and climbed up trees, all of them with no idea what they were truly cheering for. Her eyes latched onto a little boy wearing a paper crown and staring at the fallen star as if he just wanted to be noticed by him. Other children and adults peered at Scarlet the same way, admiring her merely because she was in a stunning gown and standing on a balcony beside the man with all the power. Scarlet wanted to vomit. She wasn't their princess or their savior. She was their failure. She didn't even listen to what the fallen star was saying until she heard the words, "Paradise the Lost." Scarlet's focus sharpened. "History knows Paradise as a thief and a criminal, but I knew her as my wife." Gavriel closed his eyes and wrinkled his brow in a show of manufactured sorrow. "She's the reason I returned to Valenda. I wish I could say that I came to save all of you from the villains who killed your last would-be emperor. But I was on my way here before then. I traveled here from halfway around the world as soon as I heard a rogue by the name of Dante Thiago Alejandro Marrero Santos was to be crowned emperor. I knew I had to stop him. He was not Ellen Tyne's lost child. My wife, Paradise the Lost, was." Mouths all over the courtyard opened in sighs and ahs. Everyone was eager to believe him, although he had no real evidence. The audience cheers died to a respectful hush as Gavriel promised to rule the way his dead wife would have wanted. His voice even cracked, and Scarlet thought she saw several ladies swoon. No one seemed alarmed that if he'd been married to Paradise, he should have looked significantly older. "And now," the fallen star said, "I would like to introduce someone very special. Together, Paradise and I had one child, your new Princess Scarlet." He placed the ruby diadem atop her head. "She is my sole heir, but do not worry. I plan to rule for a very long time." The courtyard erupted in applause. Perhaps a few intuitive individuals took his last words as a threat rather than a promise of prosperity. But Scarlet did not see their faces as the fallen star waved a hand and Poison stepped forward, carrying a gold crown so heavy most mortals would have bowed under its weight. It felt symbolic, for soon every human in the Empire would be crushed beneath the fists of the fate who wore it. Scarlet tried to part ways from him as they left the balcony, but the fallen star linked his arm with hers. "I want you by my side tonight." Together, they traveled down all of the steps of the Golden Tower to the throne room, and into a nightmare masquerading as a party. Chapter 51. Scarlet. It was the sort of celebration that would make it into history books and eventually turn into romanticized fairy tales that made even the horrible parts seem attractive. 100 years from now, people who heard of the fallen star's coronation celebration might wish they'd attended, although many of the humans actually there were looking as if they wished they'd not been part of the lucky crowd allowed inside. Scarlet didn't know how the guards had decided who to let in from the courtyard,
but she wondered if they'd been told they'd be rewarded if they survived the night. For despite all the abuse, no one appeared to be fighting back. Near the stairs she'd just come down, her handmaidens were sewing up the lips of guests with thick red thread. Then there was the unwed bride in her veil of tears, kissing all the married men until their wives began to cry. The Prince of Hearts was there, looking debauched, but Scarlet didn't watch him long enough to see what he was doing. Or maybe he was the one controlling emotions so that all the humans behaved. Priestess, priestess, smelled of suffering as she wove